Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
We've got nothing to say to each other. We saw each other the other day. We're out of conversation. We've caught up. We don't need to have this. We don't need to do a pod. We have to actually make a rule that we don't speak to each other during the week so that we have lots to chat about. We saw each other on Monday. Said everything I need to say. Anyway, still nice to chat. Is it hot or is it cold where you are?
Well, I'm confused. God, it was cold, bitterly cold yesterday, okay? Heating was back on, the big coats were back out. I mean, last week we said that we discarded them,
didn't we? Yeah,
we said goodbye.
Yeah,
we said goodbye.
We put them away.
Yeah. Yeah, they were all back. And then today, it's a bit confusing. It's a bit warmer. I've turned the heating off again. Mike and I are having a war. I keep turning it off. He keeps turning it on.
Oh, he's very thin, Judith. He's a thin man.
Oh, stop. Don't rub it in.
He's a thin man who needs a thermal vest indoors if you're not going to have the central heating on. See, I've got a big lad. I've got a fat lad. So
you have, I know. And I'd be much happier, really, to be honest. And do you know what Mike's done recently? He's developed this kind of habit. I've never seen him do it before. Where he's, if he's a bit chilly in the house, he does that funny little thing with his hands. He sort of brings them together like
Does he blow on his hands like a Victorian
waif? A bit like that. It's a bit, you know, if you had two, you know, that classic thing of women talking over the garden fence.
Yes.
They might have that sort of, oh, it's a bit nippy, isn't it? I feel like saying, oh, stop it, stop it. I'm turning the heating off.
A man must never admit to being cold.
Oh, no, it's very unattractive, isn't it?
It's like when a man goes in the sea, even by accident, and it's colder than he thinks. He must never shiver on the way out. He must never stand on the sand shivering. It's a very bad look.
It is a very bad look indeed, isn't it? And also, you want a man that's going to give you his jacket, don't you, sort of thing. You know, you're cold, you have my jacket.
I want the jacket over the puddle still. I mean, I don't... Everything started going wrong when blokes stopped putting their jackets over puddles for us so we could stomp all over their jackets and soak them through.
That's when
we had the upper hand, Judith.
I know. We let that slip, all that, didn't we? The door opening. I tell you, the other thing that annoys me, while we're on this subject, when you go to a restaurant, does Jeff say, you know, when they say, what can I get you? Does he sort of defer to you or does he jump in and say what he wants first?
I probably jump in first.
Oh, yeah.
Is this drinks order or is this
food?
Is this drinks
you know,
or food?
Anything, really. Anything.
Well, first does of all, it's drinks of... with me. I mean, the first thing I do when I sit down is I start looking for a waiter to get my Chardonnay order in. And once that's done, I don't really care.
No. Well, I know what you mean. I can't relax until I've got the food order in.
Well, what does Mike do?
Well, because he started this of late. It's like, you know, oh, wait a minute. You know, we don't have to do any of that nonsense, that sort of ladies first nonsense anymore. No, he sort of jumps in. It really pisses me off. Really pisses me off. I know.
Well, hopefully he'll listen to this podcast.
Well, yes.
And he'll learn the error of his ways.
Yes, indeed.
I mean, Jeff and I haven't been out to eat for a very long time. So, you know, not in a restaurant where someone comes up and says, you know, offers us a menu and says, what do you want? I mean, you know, no, I haven't done that for a long time.
Anyway, there we go.
Yes. Been a bit busy week, Judith. Socially busy week.
Yes.
We both had people to stay.
Oh, we have. And it's not very often that you come to this podcast with that news, I tell you.
No. Yes. Well, I've got the permanent bleeding lodger at the moment, haven't I? So I haven't got a spare room.
That's true.
Really.
That's true.
So I've got Daisy up on the top floor.
Not podcast Daisy.
Yeah. Well, yeah. God, can you imagine if podcast Daisy was up on the top floor with her family? Something terrible had happened and they'd had an infestation. They had to come stay.
Let's hope not.
No, it is my niece Daisy who is at the drama school Lambda and she's waiting for a flat share. And so my friend, beautiful Frances, that I shared flats with at when I was at drama school, back
weirdly
in the
symmetrical.
Day. Yes, I know. We all had supper together last night. I made very good chicken casserole, my classic chicken casserole.
Oh, yeah.
And everyone enjoyed that. We actually, Judith, sat at the table because I've realised there is a new rule for eating in front of the television. I think once there's over three people, it's a bit weird.
No, quite right, quite right. Anyway, I think standards have been slipping in your house in terms of eating at that table for a long time. Because when I first got to know you and I first came to stay with you, we definitely had... I think there were napkins. I think the table was laid. I think, oh yes.
I did all that last night.
Very good.
Whole works. I even bought a couple of puddings.
You always say beautiful Francis. Whenever you mention your friend Francis, you always say my beautiful friend Francis. Yeah. Little bit envious about that.
Sorry. It doesn't really roll off the tongue, beautiful Judith. My dear friend Judith.
I've only got one.
Well, it's just beautiful Frances. She's the only one that I label beautiful. She's a gracious looking woman.
Gracious.
And she doesn't try hard. She's not had any work done, nothing like that. She lives in the country. Right. You know, she's got rough hands. Big feet. Right. Very big feet. Big took her shoes and socks off last night. I thought, fucking hell. Anyway, there we go.
Good bones, I bet. I imagine good bones.
Good bones. And she listens to the podcast and she said the other week she was screaming, mustard and cress, you silly bitches at us. So who have you had to stay?
Well, we had Martin and Nick, my oldest friends.
This is the very strange relationship I find because we were pen pals.
We did exchanges when she was 13 and I was 11.
Stuck like Velcro. Yeah.
Always admired her. Always wanted to be Martine. And less so now. And we are very different.
Okay. Is there a political schism that's happened?
There is a political. Yeah, she's very, 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 very political, really, as French people often are. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
So. Yeah, she's terribly bright. She's one of the brightest people I know. Don't know what she was doing with me. God knows what she likes.
Do you call her Clever Martine?
I could do easily. But I love her to bits. So they came to stay. And I haven't seen them for ages. So I pushed the boat out, actually.
Do they live in France?
They live in Manchester and they've got a place in France, obviously.
Very useful, Judith. Very useful. Is it ever empty?
Oh. Actually, it might be, but it's sort of in the middle of nowhere.
Oh, right. No, I'm not interested. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Move along.
You are ruthless. Any port there. I pushed the boat out, I have to say, because she's obviously a very, very good cook, and so is he. So I did what turned out to be quite a sort of 70s meal, I think. So I made some chicken liver pate.
Yeah, retro.
Yeah, very retro. Do you like chicken liver pate?
It's one of those things I occasionally have and then feel terribly guilty because it's wrong, isn't it? Pate is wrong. And I quite like the Marks and Spencer's mushroom pate.
Oh, yes, I know you got me onto that. Oh, no, this is... Yeah, 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 this is... Well, this is obviously...
This is very rich,
retro.
Isn't it?
Oh, yes, it's rich. It's full on cholesterol.
So
that was very lovely. I nearly
made... What did you have that on?
Some nice sourdough toast. I was going to do Melba toast but I ran out of time. Yeah. What did I do for main course? Oh, a fish pie. I always do a fish pie. But I do a good fish pie. I do a good Delia fish pie.
Are you prawns in?
Oh, I'm prawns in. I nearly bought some scallops. Went to the market and they had three or four left. So I thought, that'd be lovely in the fish pie. Well, yeah, got about £5 out. It was £7 for three scallops. I said no. I said I'm sorry. I'm sorry to be difficult, but I'm not doing it. No, definitely prawns. Definitely a bit of yellow haddock, parsley and capers. Now there's the secret ingredient. Capers. Don't tell me you're allergic to capers.
I'm not fond of capers. I think if people are heavy-handed with the capers, it can turn a dish. I think you have to be very, very careful. I'm quite difficult. So, and did you change sheets?
Indeed.
I've had this terrible virus and Jeff and I have been sleeping apart. He's been in his study where there is the spare double bed.
I knew it well. Yes.
Well, Francis, we did do a complete sheet change.
Good. Well, I'm very, very pleased. I'm very, very relieved to hear it.
Yeah, I didn't just get the Hoover and Hoover the crumbs out of the... Because sometimes, you know, that's an alternative,
isn't it? Out of the bed!
Yeah, quick Hoover. Got a handheld Hoover, you know. Just one of those little handheld ones.
I know what you mean. They don't work very well, do they?
Not really.
They live up to the promise. They're going to be life-changing when you buy them, and they're not really.
I tell you when they're useful for us. Every year we have a flying ant invasion.
and we have to kill him off. We have to have a day where we go out for the day. We do a bomb, a death bomb. I know. and
you come back to a lot of dead ants.
Yeah, dead flying ants, and then we just hoover them up. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's a pleat. You know, it's very, like a very glamorous experience.
Here in
Canada. Oh well, we live, don't we?
We had a lovely day together. Great. We had a successful meetup in Oxfordshire, where me and Phoebe and Arlo took the train from Marylebone. I just have to say that London Transport needs to have a very good look at itself, because there are some very tricky connections on London Transport for disabled people. And I've said this before, and I'm going to say it again, because it is fucking outrageous in 2023 that there are no lifts. I won't go into the minutiae of the journey, but by the time we got to Marylebone, there was no lift. We had to do the terrifying balancing act with the buggy on a very, very long escalator.
Which
an
is
incredibly a vertically inclined escalator.
Oh, that's disgusting, isn't it?
It's quite tough. And of course, wheelchairs can't do that. So disabled people don't even have that option. So it's absolutely ludicrous. But there we go. And we got the train and we came out of the wrong exit. And you and Sienna.
I did tell you.
You did. Didn't pay any attention.
You got there and you thought, well, bloody hell, we've done all this trip. Where the bloody hell are they?
Where are they? And we were sort of, Phoebe and I were kind of laughing, saying, God, we've been stood up. This is terrible. We just have to get a train straight back. And then there you were with the double buggy.
Yeah, I know. Look,
phenomenal.
Yeah, it was quite something, wasn't it? I mean, to finally meet up, it was lovely to see.
Just these two little faces. You've got Arlo, you know, the three little faces. But it was just such a treat to see, because I hadn't seen the twins since they were about a month old.
No, that's right.
Something like that. And the, what's weird is you can still see the babies in them, but you can also see the little toddlers they are becoming.
Yes, you can. You see them as boys now, can't you? You can see their faces as boys, particularly Stanley. Yeah, you can. I know. It's amazing how quickly they change.
And this is their first birthday week. I mean, tomorrow.
Yes,
we're recording on a Wednesday.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So that's a cake you've got to make today.
Oh, shit. I'd forgotten I'd offered that. Oh, bugger. Oh, God.
Yeah. I'm really sorry, Judith. Have I just spoiled your day?
Yeah, you have. You have. You've just it's just gone up in flames.
You're not allowed to use sugar. I don't know what you do for kids' birthday cakes. They're really strict, aren't they? Phoebe and Sienna are quite strict, aren't they? Her house is beautiful and she's really on top of it. She's a very admirable, fabulous woman. I mean, it was so great. And they'd never met. What was really odd was that Phoebe and Sienna...
You're kidding!
...had never met before. No.
Oh, I hadn't realised that. But yeah, I know. What was joyous, actually, was to see them talking as young mums, because I was really struck by... Well, I mean, I know Phoebe's had difficult times with Arlo in and out of hospital and stuff. And I know that you've had times when it's been really anxious. But she radiated kind of, you know, joyous motherhood and pride.
That's because I was there helping her.
No, she looked great. She looked, I mean, just so fulfilled, really. Yeah, fulfilled, happy. And Arlo is a sweetie, really sweet baby.
What was funny was that, because, you know, I see Arlo growing up and I think, oh, he's quite a big boy now. And then, of course, compared to the twins, who are so much more advanced, he's suddenly just a little baby. And he was obviously so impressed. And he's very watchful, Arlo. He's a very sort of, he's a watcher. And he really didn't take his eyes off them.
Maybe he thought he was seeing double. He thought, what are all these babies?
Yeah, but they're not that similar. So
no, they're not similar.
Eddie's
true.
Darker and no. Stanley's blonder, and it's quite easy to tell the difference. But yeah, he was just watchful.
Yes, he was, wasn't he? Mind you, he'd bend his legs. He just will. It's funny.
Bend his legs.
He just will not bend his legs. It's like the kind of sort of he hasn't cottoned onto that, has he? Quite difficult to put him in the pushchair.
Doesn't want to. He wants to stand. He's really, really wanting to stand. He's got really long legs as well. I mean, he's sitting. He does sit, you know. He's sort of like, you give him, 2-3 minutes and he'll keel over. He hasn't really got
the
balance,
I saw him keel over into that sort of funny central island, the activity island.
But, you know, it's sort of like, he's got to learn. But no, he's got this new thing now where he just he locks his legs and he wants to stand.
Yes, yes, yes. Well, I guess he will be soon. That was lovely, and it was lovely to see you as a nana. And but actually, what was really lovely as well is, I don't know, the sort of young mums kind of, you know, I overheard them talking about sleep training and solids, and you know, because Sienna's obviously a bit further on, and it was really lovely to watch them sort of interact. And we didn't have to do any of that, did we?
We didn't have to do anything. I did bugger all. I really did not. I did nothing. But there we go. It was lovely. But hold on, Judith, you have to admit, you over-garlicked that salad and I couldn't eat it.
It was a bit of a disaster, isn't it? It was a bit of a disaster. Well, yeah. You sent me an email with all the... Because I knew that Phoebe had got allergies, and obviously I know you've got allergies. It was quite a complicated email.
It wasn't. It was dairy and gluten-free for Phoebe and just tomato-free for me. But then I forgot my garlic aversion. It's aversion. Not an allergy. It's... And I just don't think I'm that much trouble. And of course, as it turns out, I'm a fucking nightmare. This has been growing with me for the last couple of years. It started with, you know, I've got this really overly developed sense of smell, which I have. Mm. I started disliking the smell of garlic, burnt garlic, cooked garlic. I just sort of found it unappealing. And then I started to realise I disliked the flavour in foods. And I stopped using it entirely. I haven't had garlic in my fridge for a long time. So it was a shock when I ate it.
I know. Well, the trouble is, now, you see, what happened is that I thought, oh, I've got, you know, a Caesar salad. I thought, right, okay, that'll suit Phoebe. I'll get some gluten-free bread. That'll work really well. Because I remember, or I thought I remembered, in Dulwich, when we met not so long ago, you ordering a Caesar salad. So I thought, oh, okay, well, no, that's fine. That's plain sailing.
No recollection of that. Sure, it wasn't a salad niçoise.
Oh, it was a salad niçoise, I just remember.
Yeah, possibly. But there we go. It was. You know, you made an effort, and I should have just been able to swallow it down, but I couldn't. I had to say, I can't eat this.
Well, it was worse
than
that.
And I need a glass of milk.
Exactly. I don't think I've ever cooked for anybody, and if I had to ask for a glass of milk to take the taste away.
Take the taste away. Take taste away. And then you donated the gluten-free bread to Phoebe and I had to eat that on the train all the way home.
You had to
take
it on the
taste
home,
away.
You?
Yeah.
Oh, God, yeah. Really?
Yeah. I had cough sweets and gluten-free bread.
It wasn't successful.
You're a very good cook.
I'm sorry about that.
I just now know that I can't do garlic.
Really can't, can you? Well, yeah, no. You had some coleslaw. You know, there was coleslaw.
No garlic in that.
There was no garlic. It went all over me, though. I had Stanley on my lap. I don't know whether you noticed. I bought a new top and a new pair of trousers because, you know,
he liked
to look good. Yeah, you didn't notice either of them, did you? But yeah.
I wasn't looking at you, Judith. I was looking at you. I was fascinated by the twins. I was absolutely fascinated by their relationship, the fact that they take each other so much for granted. And yet this relationship, it's very close, but it's very casual. It's just, you know, they've obviously always been there for each other. So it's
strange, isn't it? I mean, actually they were holding hands when they were feeding, weren't they?
Yeah.
Which they started to do. But yes, so I was holding a squirmy Stanley and I managed to get not just a bit of coleslaw, a great big spoonful of coleslaw all over my top of my trousers.
Yeah, but your top's very jazzy. It was a very jazzy top. You couldn't tell pattern. You just couldn't. It was a very well chosen top for food splattering.
Indeed.
There should be a section in Marks and Spencer's for messy eaters. Messy eaters and nanas who, you know, with small grandchildren. The splatter tops. Just call them the splatter tops.
I think you can
wipe down splatter top, pop it in the wash.
Yeah, I think that's a winner, that one is, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. So anyway, you walked us back to the train station. We passed some shops and you started muttering under your breath about a handbag you saw.
We walked past a Clark's shop and you know what I'm like for handbags? I mean, it's sort of a bit of an illness, isn't it? It's a bit dysfunctional.
Yeah.
Mike, because I'm always after a handbag that works and I sort of fail to get it somehow. And sometimes I get it really wrong, far too small, and then... Oh, you know, ones that haven't got enough compartments in. I said, it is a bit, you know, some women are handbags and some women are shoes, aren't they? With me, it's kind of a real failing that I can't resist. Anyway, I spotted one, yeah. Spotted it just out the corner of my eye. And I said to you, I think I might have to go back and buy that handbag. And you told me not to. You were very firm, actually. You said, no, Judith.
Well, I think that what you've got to do first is go through the handbags you do have and make an inventory so that you're not doubling up. Because I have
I'm
a suspicion.
Not doubling up. No,
okay,
I don't.
That's fine.
No,
then. Okay. No, no. What yes. is this magic handbag that you
okay,
haven't
well,
already
I'll put you.
Before?
I'll put a picture on the notice board. It's, but then this is what I always think about handbags. I think it's a rucksack.
Okay.
And it's got a little safe zippy up thing inside, you know, so nobody can pocket you as you're walking along with it on your back.
Yeah.
And then it's got a nice thing at the front. I checked whether my phone would fit in. It fits in. All very pleasing. And then inside, it's got two or three compartments that you could put, you know, your glasses and all that sort of stuff.
Is it bigger than the rucksack you already had on your back?
Slightly bigger. Yes, it is slightly bigger. Yeah, but I've had that one for years. I mean, you know, to be fair to myself, I have had that one for years.
Okay, so and what colour?
Yeah, well, this is the problem, because I brought it back after I dropped you off and I showed it to Sienna and she said, oh my God, it's kind of it's green. I haven't got
I
any
like green
clothes. Yeah, but I tell you the sort of green it is. Do you remember spangles? It's
yes.
the lime, you know, remember the lime green spangle?
Okay.
It's that colour.
Okay, I was thinking a deep forest green or something maybe, but
no.
it's not. You've gone the light acidic. Yeah. Spangle lime
yes,
green.
I have. It was okay, very reduced, and it might be that it's because of that.
Is it
I don't
leather?
Know. It's leather. It yes, okay. yes, okay. yes. We've okay. We've cleared that hurdle. It's leather. It's nothing fancy, but I'm itching to move into it. But I think I need your approval or otherwise.
I don't want to take that responsibility. I can't because I think you want it. You need it. You had to have it. it's a little bit of spring lime. I'm sort of creeping towards Sienna on this one. I think another green would have been possibly.
It's a bit in your face. But you see, sometimes I think those kind of bright coloured shoes and handbags, well, they either go with nothing, depending on your point of view, or they go with everything, depending on your point of view.
I don't know what doesn't go with lime. I don't know what doesn't go with lime, to be quite honest.
I haven't got anything green. I mean, I've got nothing green, but maybe that's a good thing. You see, maybe that's a good thing.
Well, I think you need to put it on the notice board, and I think
I
don't think we should have a thumbs up or thumbs down, because I think you bought it, and I think you've already sort of had a pause all over it. I don't think you can take it back. You know, I think you've already snapped off all the labels.
I could take it back.
Okay, well done. Yes, you could clear that hurdle. Okay, right. Well, I'd like to see it, but I do not want to have the last say on this.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Now then. Now, you had another lunch out as well. It wasn't just me.
Yeah,
you had lunch with Gloria Hannaford.
Gloria Hannaford, because we had this reunion a few months ago and we said, oh, well, it would be nice to see each other and everything. You really say that, don't you? But she very sweetly got a hold of me and we had a lovely... I can't tell you how much I enjoyed. She's 82. I hope she wouldn't mind me telling you that. And... my God, she's still working really hard. She's still so vibrant, interested, and kind of real, you know. And she was talking a lot about Karen and I think would like me to do some work fundraising for the Karen Keating Foundation, which gives loads of money, actually, to cancer charities. And I just think the way she's kind of carried forward you know, Karen's sort of memories in that way. You've got to hand it to her, really. And it was, and I miss seeing, you know, we both lost our mums. And I kind of missed that generation. And she was so, I don't know, wise, really. She's a wise woman. She's lived a lot of life. And
she's very charming. I've only met her a handful of times, but incredibly at ease with herself and anybody who she's thrown into company with. You know, there's nobody
she
flinches away from. So that was a successful, gossipy, nice lunch.
It was lovely. It was lovely and very sort of ladylike. Do you know what I mean? Felt like a lady. Felt like a grown up again.
Did you use a new handbag?
No, I haven't had it out of the house yet.
I'm just checking, because just in case there's a staff member of the Clarks on a certain high street that will know, I know that woman. She's used it. She took it out for lunch with Gloria Hunniford. Now she's bringing it back. You must be joking. Okay, right. Now then, you've got, we're talking about people working and everything. You've got an event, haven't you? You've got an event you've been organising that you'd like to invite the gang to, should they be passing.
Absolutely. So I do this thing at the college, at the university for International Women's Day. I roped you into one once, didn't I?
Yeah, yeah.
So I have got, and I'm so pleased with myself, Joely Brearley, who founded Pregnant Then Screwed. You know, that kind of movement.
I know
that is,
because
that is,
Phoebe's very behind that, yeah.
Absolutely. And we organised, started, inspired the March of the Mummies that happened in October. And I think she's kind of really agitating the government, you know, agitating the government to make improvements. I mean, my God, crikey, it needs improving.
I don't think there are very many women in London that can afford full-time nursery school places for their very small children and without relying on grandparents stepping in at least once or twice. Yeah. Absolutely.
I mean, she was. I think she said that 3/4 of mothers in the UK... now saying that it doesn't pay to go back to work. It doesn't, you know, it's not financially kind of beneficial. They go back because they want to work, perhaps.
This government has turned this country backwards. It's turning it back by decade. I mean, almost daily by a decade. It's absolutely terrifying.
It is terrifying.
Ridiculous statement Rishi Sunak made yesterday. I mean, they're just the absolute... I can't understand how, as he was saying it, it didn't dawn on him when he was going on about how lucky Ireland was to have this brilliant deal, which is exactly what we had until they sold us down the river.
Oh my God, did he say that? That's terrible.
Yeah. How lucky they were.
It's all extremely depressing, I have to say. But to give her her due, Joely Brearley is, I think, getting some traction with the government. And she said, look, you know, I'm pretty sure that in the spring statement there will be some improvements. It won't be all we have to do. It may be baby steps in the right direction. But she is, and she's an ex-journalist and she's really busy, you know. So she's coming to Oxford on
the
8th of
March. Well, you need to give the details.
Yes.
So 8th of March,
it's free.
March in Oxford. Yes.
Yeah. Kellogg College. I'll put on the, so if you go to Kellogg College, Oxford, under the events, International Women's Day, it's all there. I'll put something as well on the notice board. It's a free event.
And what time?
5:30. 5:30 to 6:30, so you can be home in front of the telly with your bra off. You know what I mean? It's not too taxing. And she's signing books. She's written 2 books, actually. The latest one is The Motherhood Penalty. Sienna's coming, Ellen's coming. And I'm really pleased with myself to have got her, actually. And I think she's a great... We should all get behind that movement.
She's a great advocate
really
for
should.
Young mothers. And,
she certainly
mothers.
Is. Yeah.
Right, well, if you're plugging, I'm going to plug. I've got one of my older books out on Kindle for £1 this month.
Oh, wow. That's
having
good
a lovely time. Kindle, £1. You can't go wrong with that, really. It's cheaper than a cup
can't.
Of coffee.
Ah, no, it is. Ah. It's half a cup of coffee, actually, isn't it?
Half a cup of coffee.
Half. Yeah. Oh, that's good. That's very good.
Yeah.
Very good.
So, anyway, let us go now to Culture Corner.
Yes, what are you reading,
and we shall
Jenny?
Start with books. I finished a book, right, which I'm not going to name because I'm not sure whether it's fair or not. I finished a book which was so badly narrated on audio, I suspect it might have been done by AI.
You're joking.
I suspect it might have been done by a bot.
Oh my God! Did you know
and
that
my
might
friend Frances, that came to stay with me last night, does a lot of voiceovers. She's been warned not to leave samples of her voiceover, large samples, because they can be stolen and nicked.
God, so they nick the words and remix them. Yeah. Oh my God!
I don't know what other excuse this reader has. I mean, the woman is named. There is a name. And it isn't one I'm familiar with, and I'm not naming names here, just in case it is somebody real, and she's just done a terrible, terrible job, and she should never, ever work in the audio industry ever again, because she pronounced Wiley as Willie,
no,
Pala as Parlor, Parquet as Parky. It was just went on and on and on, mispronunciations. I left a stinking review on the Audible review thing, and it doesn't score more than one star on Audible.
Crikey.
Every single review is
but
saying
But why is somebody not checking it? I mean, for God's sake.
I do not know why this hasn't been listened to by the publishing company.
Well, yeah, that's terrible.
In fact, I'm so incensed by this. I am genuinely thinking of checking who the publishing company is and writing them a letter, an email.
Yeah, I think you should.
Just to say,
you have really sold
this author down the Swanee this production.
Imagine how the author would feel. Bloody hell.
Yeah. And if anybody knows anything more about that, I'd be very interested. But anyway, so that's... I'm not going to name that book. What I am reading right now is I've just started the new Emma Flint, which is called Other Women. It's very promising. She wrote a book which I enjoyed about 6 years ago called Little Deaths, which I really, really enjoyed. So
I've
been waiting
for
this one. No, she's good. So I will report back on that. What are you on,
Judith? Well, I'm back on to The Great Circle because last week I got a bit of a telling off from you when I said I'd drifted off and I'd gone off it because it's a bloody big book, isn't it?
Yes.
The Great Circle.
I don't think I told you off. I think you just felt guilty on your own.
Yeah, well, I did. Bit of both. Quite rightly, though, you did. And I mean, I don't... So I'm back into it. I'm really back into it. And it is actually magnificent, isn't it, about this woman who was one of the early pilots. But so much more than that, her life and the way she sort of takes off.
It is an extraordinary book. I noticed that it's on Queen Camilla's book club list.
Oh, is it?
Yes.
Is it?
Yes,
it
is.
I'm not surprised. It's a rich tapestry.
It's a rich tapestry. You're absolutely rich tapestry. Very much so. Okay, moving on to telly.
Bad Sisters. Actually, a few of the listeners have actually put me onto that. Still getting my money's worth out of the Apple TV trial period. Bad Sisters. Sharon Hogan's written and, yes, rather wonderful. And, you know, a great premise, actually. Sort of mischievous and mysterious as well. It's good.
Do you know, don't know why I've missed that. So I'm going to put that on the list because I'm kind of... Now I've finished The Gold. I'm a series out now. I've finished Hotel Portofino. Oh. It was a soppy nonsense, but I quite enjoyed it because I was feeling... I was enfeebled. so last night we started... When Frances, after dinner, we went back into by the fire and watched the first episode of The Unforgotten, which we enjoyed. And our friend Kate Robbins is playing the new copper's mum.
Is she?
Yes.
Oh, brilliant.
Yes.
Brilliant. Oh, I love a Kate Robbins. I love Kate Robbins.
And they were sat at a table having a glass of red wine. I thought, I wonder if that's real because Kate would enjoy that. She'd have a sip. She'd go, cheers, lovely.
She's good fun, isn't she?
So yes, that still has a lot of promise. The Unforgotten.
The Unforgotten. Yeah. All right. Okay.
Are you still on Slow Horses as well?
Yes. Don't really know what's going on, Jenny. But somehow the characters take us through, and we probably will make it to the end. But it's bloody complicated.
Okay.
I watched because I needed something soothing. The Boy, the Mole, the Fox and the Horse. The kind of animation, which I know was on Christmas and everything. What?
I don't
what?
Know. I don't know. There's something about that book that makes my fists clench. I don't know why. It's just
such
a
killjoy. Oh, it's beautiful. It's beautiful. It is beautiful.
I don't know if I can do that.
Well, I think you're going to have to sit and watch it with Arlo one day. It's like the new snow. It's like the new snowman. It is, but yeah.
The gift I'm going to give Arlo, as a sort of fairy godmother, fairy grandmother, godmother, is cynicism. I'm going to put cynicism into his little ear. You know, from the word go, I've been sneering at things going, I think that's a bit stupid. This book is crap. Yeah, I read a book with him and go, well, this is a bit rubbish, isn't it, Arlo? What a load of shit, to be quite honest.
Well, I think it might stand him in very good stead, actually, to be honest. Yeah. But I was enchanted. I didn't mind. It was uplifting and gorgeous. And I'm glad I wasn't sitting next to you.
Yeah. With my lip curling and my fists clenched. And anything you're looking forward to? Any tips that we should be watching?
I am really looking forward to something which has been had lots of kind of previews called Finding Michael, which is Spencer Matthews, who I think was in Made in Chelsea, wasn't he?
Yes.
Younger brother, when he was, I think, only 22, climbed Everest and then died on his way down, and his body was never found. And so he goes back to see if he can find the body. Because, you know, they're all there, apparently, intact in the ice. And apparently you kind of walk along and think, oh, well, that's some Norwegian and that's some
Italian. Oh, my God, you mean the route up to the summit is littered?
Yeah, littered with bodies, apparently, and they kind of landmarks. And so I don't know.
I did hear once that the climb up to Everest, the easy route, is so overpopulated. There's just loads of toilet paper all the way up.
Oh my God! Yeah. Bloody hell!
Well, I'll never witness that because I'm not doing it. Not until they get a Stannis stairlift all the way up. Then I'll go. I tell you. Anyway,
So I'm looking forward to that. It comes out on Friday. Yes,
well, Spencer Matthews. Yes. Right, really charismatic. I did a quiz show years ago, and I honestly was totally enamoured of him within seconds. He's just one of those blokes. He's in a room and he is charming. A light goes up around him. It's very odd because everyone goes, oh, he's posh, he's on that. And same with Jamie Lang. Absolute fucking charmers. There we go.
Yeah, I get that. No, I do get that.
I'm slightly behind with Love Island, but I will catch up. And I've still got, apparently, the last episode of this series of Call the Midwife, I'm still to catch up with as well. Do my art roundup. Now, this will be a little bit contentious, possibly. I found the Cézanne a bit boring. There, I've said it. I'll leave that there and I'll do a quick run. I'll run now while all the comments come in. okay, for starters, right, the Tate Modern is a marvellous, marvellous thing. It is an absolute gift to the nation, but it is also a victim of its own brilliant, brilliant success. It has a huge, huge number of members. It has, and it attracts vast crowds. Consequently, the Cézanne is chock-a-block. It's just a miserable shuffle through.
I
don't want to
that.
Put people off. Because
well,
you just have,
but I don't
know.
No,
don't let
you.
Me. Remember, I'm not a nice person. I don't like sharing. I mean, I'll share to a point, but it just became, and it was all, this is a terrible thing to say. You just thought, oh God, it's like me in Identikit. There's like millions of us,
God,
me and Jeff's
really,
and you and Mike's.
Really.
And, yeah, it was just
the Waitrose
like,
bunch, isn't it? It's the Waitrose bunch,
yeah,
totally.
Yeah. It was just sort of the semi-retired, you know, taking an opportunity of a Friday morning. And just, you know, being sort of not, there's something a bit ghastly about us all en masse, you know. Sort of,
there is, I'm afraid.
You know, it's a bit like, well, we've got the 2 o'clock. Are we allowed? I think we've got you. I think you're fine. We've got the 2. Are you the 2:15? Well, we're the 2. Yes, we are a little late because we had to queue for lunch. And the, so there's a lot of that. And I don't blame anybody because I'm exactly the same. What I dislike in everybody else is what I hate about myself. But, you know, the members' room was queuing round the block. You couldn't get in. You couldn't actually get in the members' room for lunch. Fortunately, there's a Gales over the road, so we went there.
Oh, marvellous. Did you have a sausage roll?
Had one of their little sesame rolls with the whipped avocado and the smoked salmon inside.
Oh, nice.
Which is a taste sensation. And we were with Phoebe and Tristram. It was her birthday. And they'd had the Yo-Yo Kasami light show tickets. So they'd done that. Then we met them for lunch. Then Jeff and I went back to see the Cézanne. And in the end, it was like being in a room with very beautiful birthday cards. By contrast, I'm going to suggest that people see the Mike Nelson at the Haywood, and half of you will hate it. But I found it phenomenal. You don't even know you're in the Haywood.
I don't know Mike Nelson.
Nobody
I
mean, does. He was nominated for the Turner a number of years, twice actually, right. Over the years. And he's an installation artist, but it's on a scale that is so mind-altering that you kind of, as I say, you do not know you're in the Haywood. It is, you enter a maze of rooms that he has created, and it's just an alternative space and universe. The middle section of the show is brilliant. I didn't like the last room. I just thought it was kind of out there. And it was what I needed after the Cézanne. I love Cézanne, don't get me wrong. When I first walked into that Cézanne, I saw the first painting, I got a visceral thrill. But then, when I joined the shuffle round, it just got, it started to get on my nerves. That's our cultural roundup of the week. There's one thing I forgot to mention. We haven't done Food Sensation of the Week. I don't know whether there's anything else you want to add. But
I'm still obsessed with the Pontefract cakes that I had in Bath, but and I've ordered a kilo on Amazon. I've ordered a kilo of them.
I hope you ordered some extra toilet paper as well.
Might be wise, mightn't it?
I made a fabulous chicken tagine.
Oh, did you now? So it's a chicken casserole this week and a tagine.
Not in the same week. The tagine was last week, tail end of last week, with the butternut squash. It's on the BBC food website. You know that BBC food?
Oh, yes.
Where you just look up, and it's called the North African chicken tagine, I think. And it's a fucking taste sensation.
Wow.
All you need is, you need quite a lot of spices, but you need a butternut squash and an onion and some chicken. And some honey and some stock.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, lashings of honey. Oh,
lovely. I like a tagine. Have you got the pot? You know, those funny pots.
I haven't got room for a pot. I haven't got room for one.
Nobody has got room for a tagine, but they're rather lovely in a restaurant.
Yeah. And I did it with rice, not couscous, because I don't like couscous, because couscous is cat litter. And I'm not taking any hints, tips, or not the way I make it. If you put some sultanas in, a bit of flaked almonds, nuts. I'm not interested. It's cat litter.
No. Are you sure you're not confusing it with polenta? Are you sure you haven't bought a packet of polenta by mistake? That would be like. I can't get on with that. No, I would say that is cat litter, but I think you're wrong about a tagine. I like the couscous. I like the couscous in a tagine, but I do like the sound of that recipe. Next time I come and stay, I would like that, please.
I might. I'll do, I'll send it over to you on an email, Judith, because I know where to find it. Yeah, I can do that. Okay. Talking of emails, beautiful segue there.
Yes.
Loads.
Oh, we've had lots of great emails, haven't we? Right, okay, so who's going to start?
Well, I really enjoy the woman Polly, who wrote in 61 and 8 months, and she said that the podcast can cure your resting bitch face. She says, cure your resting bitch face with Older and Wider. She said she has been accused of having a resting bitch face, which can be quite terrifying, but not while I'm listening to you lovely ladies.
I know, apparently she walks along with a huge smile on her face, so that's very gratifying, isn't it? Very gratifying. Yes. Then we've got Leslie, who's, loved the chat about interrailing at a certain age. As a nearly 64-year-old gay woman with my partner, my woman partner and I have just booked one-way tickets to Singapore and plan to backpack around Southeast Asia for about 8 months. How about that? Oh, and they will be taking the podcast with them.
Yeah. That's from Leslie. We've got a lovely one from Elaine, 55 and 2 months, who's spending the day catching up with her good mate Joe, 56 and 16 days, at the Midland Hotel. And she got off the Met in Manchester and she pressed the door. She noticed her horror. She was wearing odd shoes. FFS, for fuck's sake. She asked her daughter, recently turned 13, which was the better boot lace-up. She told her, she agreed, and then she forgot to change her shoes.
Did you see the picture?
Odd boots.
I mean, I can see how she did it, because one was sort of lace up and one was kind of pull on, so they were actually really quite different.
Yeah, I like the look. Everyone will be doing that. And just to finish off, this made me really laugh. And this was from Caroline, age 58 years and 1 month. She said, I thought you'd drop your line, share an experience I had with toenail clippers. I have a very eclectic job history. I was once a beauty therapist, having retrained in my 40s. One day I was doing a pedicure where part of the treatment was battling to clip horny, thick toenails. And she felt something sharp on her lip. It turned out to be a toenail clipping stuck to her lip gloss.
Oh, God.
Marvellous. Absolutely marvellous. Anyway, so I think that's us done. But we have really enjoyed your emails this week. And there have been a lot. And a great response to that little bit of video you put up about the collapsing of the double buggy at the airport, Judy.
Oh, hilarious. I know. Obviously shot by somebody on a plane watching the flight being held up by all these people trying to work out how to dismantle it.
The entire flight watching their time slot disappeared because a huge number of men, of ground men in an airport, as a, you know, cannot collapse a double buggy.
Well, no,
brilliant.
No. Well, you know, made me feel better about it.
Absolutely. You can get in touch with us at olderwiderpod@gmail.com.
Very good. Very good. Good.
Beautifully done. Right. Okay. All right. What have you got planned for today?
I'm faffing on.
Well, I've got some press to do because Taskmaster comes out soon. So there are some magazine interviews I've got to do. So that's, you know, I'll be talking about myself. Marvellous. And I've got my mate, my little mate, who's due to have her baby tomorrow. And it's a cesarean booked in for tomorrow.
Oh.
And she's on my drive. Her car's on my drive. So she's having her last appointment today.
Oh,
so I'm
exciting.
Hoping to see her for a quick cup of tea or coffee or something.
Oh, that'd be nice. That'd be lovely.
Yeah, and I'll massage her ankles or her feet for her.
Oh, gosh. I hope it goes well.
It's the same day as the twins' birthday. Isn't that uncanny?
It is.
So you better get a... Judith, you forgot with you what you're
going to do. Oh, I'm going to do the cake. Oh, I've bloody forgotten about the cake. I might cheat.
Good luck with that.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, then.
All right. Have a good week.
Speak soon. Yeah. Take care. Lots of love.
Bye, gang. Toodle pip.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.